The Dave and Chuck the Freak Tasty Bits podcast is powered by Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. When you need a bit off your top, book an appointment at a Lady Jane's near you. Visit LadyJanes.com. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men. It's wicked awesome.
I'm going to get you high today because it's Friday. You ain't got no job and you ain't got shit to do.
It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday.
What?
Kicking David Chuck the Freak.
It's a day celebrated all across the nation. Bitches be tripping. What's up with the Asian?
Dave with the news, douchebag of the day. Ripcord and the hot bitch, bitch away.
It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday.
What?
It's Friday.
What?
Yeah, yeah, come on.
It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday, bitches. It's Friday.
What?
It's Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits Podcast.
Tonight is a sad television milestone. Alex Trebek's last episode as host of Jeopardy is going to air. It was originally set to air on Christmas night, but many thought that was too sad for a joyous holiday, so they pushed it back to the first week of January. Here's what I don't know. Did he know at that time that would be his final episode?
I feel like he did not. Because last night he teased, join us tomorrow for a special Christmas edition of Jeopardy.
Oh, he didn't
and then
know.
It cut, you know? So I don't think he would have teased, you know, I don't know that he would have teased it like that if he known this was my last episode. But I mean, maybe. I feel like he didn't know.
Yeah.
Here's a little tribute to Alex Trebek here in preparation for tonight's final episode of Jeopardy with him as host.
Alex Trebek!
This week, I was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. What is, we love you out. That's very kind of you. Thank you. Costs you $19.95. You're left with $5. I got choked up because it suddenly registered on me. Throughout my life, I've always wondered about how courageous a human being I was. I just look at it as, it's part of life. Does that mean I'm courageous because I'm dealing with it? No. I could be scared to death and I'd still have to deal with it. But I'm not scared to death. So maybe I am courageous. What I would do on that day is tell the director, time the show down to leave me 30 seconds at the end. That's all I want. And I will say my goodbyes. And until we meet again, God bless you and goodbye.
So you don't think he did that?
So, yeah, like that was my question, because I didn't think he didn't realize that would be his last show.
Yeah.
Right? As far as I'm aware.
I just wonder how far apart the tapings were supposed to be. So maybe he did do something. I don't know. I guess that's why you watch, right? And they're not going to tell you.
No, they're not. Or maybe he knew. Maybe he had prepared something a long time ago. You know?
True, because I was going to say maybe he has something in advance. Once he found out all this, you don't know how quickly you could go. And so he recorded like a farewell or like a final statement and then just have that in the can ready.
Well, yeah, you don't expect to cry your eyes out watching Jeopardy, but it happened tonight.
That one clip of the guy who gave all of his money away except for $5 to like just say that we love you, Alex, or whatever as his final answer. When I saw that for the first time, I was like,
oh, God. Because you don't see Alex Trebek crack.
Oh, yeah, because it made him cry. Yeah. And it was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, really pulled on the heartstrings.
Oh,
he's a human after all.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it definitely did. So, yeah, it could be a tough watch tonight, but I'm sure the ratings will be huge.
We'll be tuning in our house.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, that goes hand in hand with Wheel of Fortune. They always air generally as a block of programming. But do Pat Sajak and Vanna White hate the guts of each other?
Of course they do, Dave.
No, not at all. At least that's what they say.
Oh.
They have never, I believe they've never banged either. I think someone asked them that nice once. Though.
It's nice to know.
I don't think
not.
She's really. She's out
she
of
can
Sajak's
do,
league.
Especially when she. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, like when she was young, too. I mean,
smoke show.
Yeah.
Well, when she started on there in 82 and she was doing Playboy and stuff.
Mm. Yeah. This guy, I mean, Sajak, but he's still, you know, 5'2".
Right. Like, I think Sajak can pull tail, but yeah. She's like an equal to him. Like, it's not like...
But that was a different time, too, you guys. Who knows? Like, he was the host, and
but she's
the letter girl, and...
Like, is she, like, married and everything, and has...
I think so.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean anything.
I don't think they see each other a lot, either, right?
It makes it so easy, I guess.
Yeah.
A few days out of the year or whatever.
Yeah. She's been married since 1990 to the same guy. So in 1982 to 1990, she was single. Oh, he's dead. Yeah, sorry. I won't apologize about that. He passed away 2002.
Or is that just the married? They were married until 2002.
Oh, you're right. You could be right there as well. Yeah. I take back my apology. Yeah. He's still with us.
She's just divorced.
They just got divorced. Yeah. Okay, there we are.
That's what a roller coaster ride.
It was. He's alive. He's dead. They're married. They're divorced. Yeah.
I always thought that Pat Sajak and Vanna White have never spoken to each other.
They don't do a lot of talking even on the show.
Yeah, they
do at the very end.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a clip of him, like one of them getting mad at each other? I thought we played that over the past year. They were taping something.
We look this up every time. Sajak, we always look up whether
Sajak
or not they
got
hate
mad
each other.
At a contestant that we watched.
Yes.
Yeah, we watched
but
that.
I thought they were taping something, and
you think he was like, "Hey, you can't ever do those."
I have a little vague memory of something, but maybe that's not correct. She says that they have never fought once, even though they've been doing the show together since the early 80s, almost four decades. She said it could be because we don't see each other for 2 weeks at a time, and then we see each other for a couple of days, and then we don't see each other again.
It. Yeah, that's what it
and
is.
Even when they record, she's doing, okay, he's over here, he's reading this, she's...
Walking from side to side.
They don't have to really interact too much.
No. She does his touch letters on the screen, and then at the end of the show, they for like 30 seconds, Pat will say something witty like, "Oh, so Vanna, here, you know, the big football game's coming up. I bet you watch it all the time." And she's like, "Yeah, no, Pat, I don't watch football." He's like, "All right, guys, thanks for watching. Yeah. We have to watch."
They go back to their dressing rooms, they cash their checks, and
that's it. They go about their day.
Yeah.
Vanna also revealed her motivation for staying fit all these years. She said, "I do wardrobe fittings once a month. For 38 years, I've had to fit into those dresses because they're sample sizes. So I'm afraid of going into the studio one day and not being able to fit. So it inspires me to work out on a regular basis." Well, that's your job, really. Yeah. At that point, your job is to fit into those dresses. That's what you're paid to do.
Right. Yeah.
So you make sure you touch those lights when they light up.
And we've always talked about it, man. It's so much easier. It's so much easier to stay in shape when you really don't have to work.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're off for 2 weeks working out,
you have so much money.
You have so much money
I just
and time
can't imagine,
and the best
like,
trainers.
Tuning in and all of a sudden there's a chubby Vanna White.
Hey, Dan.
That's like, meep, meep, meep,
meep. Meep, 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 meep. I'm glad to raise your hand. Give me my touching stick.
Get Vanna's touching stick.
Big Vanna needs her touching stick.
Well, hopefully this show doesn't go so long that they start to physically break down.
They've got to. I mean, she's 63 and he's in his 70s, I think. They've got to.
Yeah, I'm
how long can they retire? For?
Someone else will take over.
Yeah, I don't know. They don't seem to age.
Do they have... Now, James, I know you end up watching a lot of this.
Yes.
Do they have a person that fills in for him?
When Pat Sajak wasn't on, Vanna White did the hosting responsibilities. And
right.
I believe Sajak's daughter or Vanna White's daughter filled in the role for Vanna White.
Oh, okay.
So they have a bit of a system in place, but I haven't seen... Usually you don't really see anybody else fill in for either one of them.
Right, well, because they only work 2 days every two weeks.
Man, 2 days every 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Can you get on that schedule?
Yeah. They get paid... handsomely.
Well, she's worth $70 million or something.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
She's worth $70 million for just flipping a couple of letters. Now she doesn't even flip them; she just touches them.
Yeah,
that's right. She used to have to do a lot more work.
Yeah,
and she would flip those things.
Do you think when it first started that she knew, man, I'm going to end up being a multi millionaire?
No,
this?
You have no idea. It's
you
a TV game show.
You know,
whoever thought? Did anyone ever think that Wheel of Fortune would run four decades
No way.
The same two people would be
no
hosting
way.
It?
No, it's insane.
It's
you
America's
never could have predicted.
Yeah.
They're like two of the most popular people in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's insane.
It's really weird. I don't know anything about Pat Sajak's personal life. He's like Tool. He stays out of the limelight. Like,
you don't hear anything about it.
Does he stay out, or does no one care to follow him around?
I don't think anyone cares.
Either way. I think it's more... I think that he's reclusive. Like, yeah. he's like the art of being Pat Sajak.
I just don't think
hard.
TMZ is hiding in a bush to get pics of Pat Sajak.
Well, they should. Because then I would hear about TMZ.
Yeah, that's the only way you'll make Andy care about TMZ.
I guess. Well, we're a week into 2021, and you never thought things could get worse, but they kind of had this week. So they've asked people online to name a song that calms you down when you're feeling overwhelmed. Mm. No science here, just a bunch of people's opinions, and these are the songs they said the most. Songs they'd put on to calm them down when they're feeling overwhelmed. The Jackson 5's I Want You Back.
I tend not to reach for the Jackson 5.
I never reach for the Jackson 5
moments.
Never.
Nope.
I never. And you know what? I've realized mm-hmm. I'm totally tainted. I will not deny the amazing career he had. I can't even listen to Michael Jackson music anymore.
No, I don't. I don't make any Jackson choices.
Because some people still love him. I get it.
Yeah.
But he's totally tainted for me that I can't listen to his music and enjoy it. It doesn't put me in a good place.
Right. Yeah.
Led Zeppelin's When the Levee Breaks.
Interesting.
Jimmy Eat World's The Middle. Again, a decent song, but ever since I knew those guys were total douchebags,
turned it off.
It's tainted their music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are, or were.
Right, they came back to earth, I think.
Once the album sales weren't as high as they were with that that self-titled album that they had to change the name of, they were much more humble.
Yeah.
I did an event with them, and they were super nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that one event they did with us, they were complete douchebags. Mm-hmm. Queens, Don't Stop Me Now.
Not for me. No.
Florence and the Machine's Shaken Up.
Nope.
I never heard that one. I like Florence and the Machine calms me down quite a bit.
Oh, yeah?
Does it really?
Yeah, I like. Hmm. I feel like I'm dating the music of Florence and the Machine.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, not her, but the music of her.
The music.
That's my girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
When I need like a chick to calm me down.
Yeah, it's like, Florence, just tell me how I should be. Yeah.
They're Shake It Out.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's what they meant.
Yeah, one's...
that's got to be it.
Mm-hmm. So it's not like the Taylor Swift song. It's completely different.
Yeah, no.
This is me when I'm being a girl at my house.
This is Andy's romantic night.
Yeah. This is it.
Yeah. And all of the
ghouls come out to play. It's heavy.
Well, a couple of these songs are heavier than I thought they would be.
I love Florence and the Machine. I don't care.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just not something I spent a lot of time with.
Yeah. It gives me hope, this
song. You saw her live, though, right, Chuck?
I did see her live on the most unfortunate
I saw her
concert
with you, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I saw her with you two as well. I was supposed to be Interpol, and then it was switched to Florence and the Machine, which ruined everything.
Oh. You didn't like her live either?
No, she was fantastic.
Yeah, but not what
an extreme talent, but I was ready to see what was at that time my most ultimate favorite show that could have ever existed, and then
Interpol pulled out.
No, Bono fell off a bike.
Oh.
Remember he fell off that bike
right.
and almost
that
died.
That delayed the show.
Delayed the show, and then Interpol was like, we're out.
Yeah.
So then Florence and the Machine took over.
Yeah.
And she's very talented, but it just wasn't what I wanted it to be.
Linkin Park's Given Up is on here. My Chemical Romance's Welcome to the Black Parade. I know you get up to that song every morning, right,
All
Chuck?
The time.
When Chuck was a young boy, his father took over.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, September is another song that calms a lot of Americans down when they feel overwhelmed. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
the 21st night of September.
Mm.
The Beatles, Yesterday.
God, like a lot of these, if I was like upset, I put on Yesterday. I mean, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what that would do. I might just...
Well, it's sort of that they're saying it's calming. They're not really like angry.
If you're out,
oh.
Right? It's more like it calms them.
Yeah. But like, what do they need to be calmed from, I guess?
Well, this crazy week. It's just like that. That's how this came up. Mm. Louis Armstrong's What a Wonderful World.
It doesn't calm me down.
Fleetwood Mac. Coldplay's Viva La Vida.
Hmm.
Mac Miller's Good News.
Nope.
Mm. Familiar with that.
Like Dave's in a monologue.
I'm not familiar with that.
It's like his brain spoke.
I'm not familiar with that. Oh, careful. Who knows what the world
is it? Okay, let's see. I need and I'm gone, but it ain't standing. Can I get a break? Yeah, nope.
Whoa.
I'm not going to turn to that.
Nope.
Lizzo's Good as Hell.
Yeah.
This is James.
There we go. Yeah, that's James and Lisa. Yeah.
I like Lizzo too, but like, she doesn't calm me down.
No, it doesn't calm me down. Puts me in a good mood, though.
Yeah. Oh, true. Yeah. It's more uplifting. And like, I'm like, if I'm down and I'm sad about stuff, I can listen to that. I'm like, yeah. Oh.
You know what? It makes me happy when I see her playing that flute.
Awesome.
How you feeling?
There you go.
Check my
name.
Baby, how you feeling?
You doing so well.
Yeah,
the foolish. Hands on shoulders, off keep moving. Go, step into some new kicks. In there, swimwear, go into the pool quick. Come on, grab the eyes. You know you star, you can touch the sky. Hard, but you have to try. Need advice, let me simplify. If he don't love you anymore.
It's Jizzo.
Drop your fat ass out the door. Do my hair toss. Check my nails. Baby, how you feel? Toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feel?
Wow, I didn't know I liked Lizzo until just now.
Girl, need to kick off. How are you going? Gotta take a deep breath. All the big fights, long nights that you've been through.
That's Jizzo on Good as Hell.
Oh, that's great.
I love the
feeling good as hell.
His falsetto is amazing. I've always told him that.
I also recommend Like a Girl.
That song, like that, will really
like a
put
girl.
Me in like,
do you do the hair toss and check your nails while you're singing
he
it?
He does.
Or?
Not really, okay, but like sometimes I picture myself. I'm usually listening to this when I'm doing work around the house. So, but in my mind, I'm always like, woo, tossing my hair. Like I got long hair, I'm like tossing it. And like my nails, that's weird. I'm weird.
Yeah. His nails are.
Yeah, but my nails are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feeling? Feeling good as hell.
I'm so glad my fiance's ever walked in on me like singing Lizzo.
Oh my god. It's not the manliest.
And I'm glad you got the clean one too, because it's tied to the bull.
Yeah. I got it right once.
Bull quick.
Yeah, that's puts me in a good mood.
But if he don't love you anymore, just walk that fine ass out the door. I do my hair toss, check my nails. Baby, how you feel? Feeling good as hell.
Damn.
Jizzo.
Jizzo.
I look for Jizzo's full album of hits. Coming soon.
I should sing some songs.
That's incredible.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If you did, if Jizzo did a cover album.
Wait till you hear Truth Hurts.
So that definitely made James and Lisa's list of a song that calms them down when they're feeling overwhelmed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Download Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
A trend on TikTok has seen wives and girlfriends send their guys out for feminine products that don't exist, much to their embarrassment.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
That is.
That's incredibly
horrible.
Yeah, that's awful. It's embarrassing enough to have to go and grab the regular stuff for him.
Because, well, the way I am as a guy, I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to have to ask anyone. So I would spend a colossal amount of time looking for it before then realizing, oh, man, now I have to ask someone. Mm. Like, you could get me so badly on this. Like, I'd be burned so hard.
Mm-hmm. I often give up, too. I throw in the towel a lot. Amber sends me out for something. I'm like, ugh, I'll just ask. Can you tell me where this is? Yeah. I've even stopped, like, ladies in a store.
Yeah.
Like, where,
I've had someone stop
where
me,
would cornstarch be? Like, you know, I don't know where you keep this stuff.
Yeah.
Most ladies are very helpful. Occasionally, they'll think you're a creep. But so the trend is to come up with something that sounds real but isn't. And send your guy into a store, and then they tape the reaction when they come back. And like, one woman sent her guy to get her magic Fwem Fwem Fresh in the ladies' feminine hygiene.
Oh, man.
And it led
I'll
to a whole...
It. I'll stop at nothing.
They were paging people over the PA, people asking, have you ever heard of Fwem Fwem Fresh? It's a feminine product. Asking the whole store... And the guy gets back into the car. He's totally furious that she set him up. But it's now the new thing. Some woman sent her guy out looking for a squeaky clean of vagina.
Oh, my God. I love these product names.
That's real. Then.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them are made up, right? For sure. Some of them are staged.
Yeah.
But then some of them probably guys do fall for.
Right. The Flim Fresh thing, I wouldn't know if that's real or not, but squeaky clean of vagina.
Yeah, you would know instantly.
I'd be like, I'm not asking
Hold
for
on
that.
A second.
Yeah. You're going to have to get that
squeaky
online.
Squeaky clean of vagina.
I'd make my fiance show me a picture of what I'm trying to get.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I need to see a picture.
If I go into a store and ask somebody there for squeaky clean of vagina, I'm getting tased, dude.
Oh, yeah. You're dead.
That would be nice to do to you.
I know. Can you imagine? Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, you would be. Sorry, like, Andy. Yeah. You would be put down.
Yeah.
They'd do right something. They'd think total pervert here.
It's awful.
He's asking me about my squeaky clean vagina.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like, let me call somebody for some help, sir.
Right.
Just ask me about my squeaky clean vagina. And I told the manager, and then they tased him. It was an awful scene.
He's a perv. He's been just sitting in here, walking up and down, looking,
the feminine
faking it.
Yeah, the feminine hygiene aisle.
He picks things up and puts it down. James, if your lady sent you out for, say,
yes.
a feminine hygiene product.
Yeah, I buy tampons all the time.
Yeah, and you couldn't see it on the shelf. Would you press the button for assistance?
Because I've been in a situation like this because I couldn't find the right mixture of different flow level stuff. So trying to find the right box, I couldn't find it. So I just continually kept texting her, like, hey, I'm texting her, will this work, and not getting a response. And I would avoid. So then I'd go to the store and try to find some other stuff I needed to pick up. Then I would come back to it in hopes that she would get back to me. Until then, I would just have to bite the bullet and then ask the employee. And then they just reveal, we're sold out of that kind. Then I would just leave defeated and embarrassed.
Yeah. I can't even remember exactly what it was, but whatever the last time I had to ask for help, I was like searching for whatever it was, looking and I couldn't find it. And finally, like a lady came down the aisle and I was like, listen, I need this one thing. I don't know where it is. And she was like, oh, you mean like that thing?
Oh, like, it's literally right there.
But I must have looked all the way around it several times.
Well, you're probably in the aisle and you're a little kind of nervous about who might be coming by and might see you. Yeah. And then if you get recognized as who you are
and you're in the feminine. Loop.
Yeah. You know?
But this wasn't even embarrassing. This wasn't even something embarrassing. It was just like whatever I needed.
But it was right there.
It was right in front of my face.
Were they condescending? Because I've had that happen.
A little.
Before,
right there. Yeah, I think she just found it funny that it was like right there. But,
said, why would men not Google something like that before asking for it? Because we just assume you're not lying to us.
Yeah, why would you lie?
We don't
why
know the lie? Names. Why you lie? Yeah. We don't know the names of your hygiene products.
No.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to get you whatever you need, but I would also assume you're not going to make a mockery of me
in the store. I'd stop three places for Fwem Fwem Fresh.
I know you would.
But squeaky clean a vagina, I'm going to have
You're sus. You're suspect.
Yeah, red flags when you say that to me. Like, you really use squeaky clean a vagina?
I mean, I'm glad you do, but...
Yeah, I love that yours is squeaky clean a vagina, but...
If you do, thank you, but...
Good. I don't believe it exists.
No.
There's a whole generation growing up who are going to be super disappointed when they find out sex isn't all choreographed threesomes and surprise encounters with someone driving a bus. Because according to a new study, the top source now that people 18 to 24 years old use to learn about sex is porn. For the first time in history, porn has become the top way people are learning about the birds and the bees.
Well, I have to assume that you just encounter it way before you're ready to encounter it. Way before parents have decided to sit down and try and give you any kind of like talk about it. You've already encountered it. So technically, it is how you're learning about stuff.
Porn's now number one. And then the rest of the top six are their partner, their parents, their friends, the media, and finally at the bottom, their doctor.
It's almost never a doctor.
The bottom is the doctor.
Yeah.
The one who should be telling everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone who learned about sex from their doctor?
No.
I've never heard of it from anyone of my circle of friends.
Parents.
No. And I didn't have regular porn growing up where it would like showed you everything. I just had that Cinemax B porn.
Yeah.
I was very frustrated for a while because I remember being like, I don't know if you, where you put it.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't. Because they don't show. I don't know what's going on down there.
They didn't show that part.
I remember when we found the super dirty magazine in the friend group.
It was an eye-opener,
right? It was a real eye-opener.
Yeah, same. I found a bunch of it in an abandoned house, and that was when I started to be like I'm getting it, but it's still confusing.
That's it. That's the key.
Now, for what it's worth, young women are most likely to turn to their partner to learn. But if their partner's a guy, he learned it from porn.
Well, the thing is, even myself, I remember when we had sex ed in school, you already kind of knew. It was already beyond for us guys. We already had heard.
Yeah, everyone knew by the time sex ed came along.
You know?
It's the studies have been out for years that say it's really not the way you should learn about sex. Your expectations of what sex would be.
Oh, with porn? Yeah.
Yeah, totally skewed when you've learned from porn. So what's it going to do to future generations? Well, we're probably seeing it already a little bit, with the ramp up in all sorts of different fetishes.
Yeah. I could see how it psychologically would make you have incredibly insane expectations of what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not reality.
Right.
Well, speaking of those ramp up in fetishes and stuff, they did a worldwide survey of fetishes. They say we're in the middle of the sexual revolution. Sexual desires and expression are becoming far more accepted and celebrated in society than ever before. It's been 10 years since 50 Shades of Grey made its way onto our screens. And even though that movie, a lot of people hated, it did open up conversations that a lot of people never had before about fetishes and opened up whole new sexual words for people, or worlds, rather. There are plenty of people out there that enjoy spicing up their sex life. One in six people, or about 1.3 billion around the world, say they have a fetish. If you ever wondered which nation is the naughtiest, well, they broke it down so we could see what the most popular fetishes are around the world. And if you want to read them all, it is a link to this article up at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com for you to check out. So here is a map. So BDSM is number one in Myanmar.
All right.
Lebanon loves feet the most, more than any other part of the world. Congo loves splashing. Familiarize me with...
I can't remember exactly what the hell it is. We've looked it up.
I can't remember it either, but I know we've talked about it.
Yeah. We're going to be like,
How do we
not
remember?
I don't know. We don't remember anything, all sorts of fetishes.
It's not something that's always on the top of mind with us.
It has to do with being really wet and messy.
To make a soft splashing sound as one moves.
It's got to mean, it has to have a sexual.
Oh, actually, there's another one. Yeah, it's to cover somebody in food.
Food. It's that food.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
covering oneself in food or wet, messy substances in order to achieve sexual stimulation. That's a weird one.
I have zero of that.
Me neither.
Yeah, I don't have any interest.
So like, mine's like negative.
That's number one in the Congo.
Yeah.
They love to splosh.
I wonder what they're covering them in the Congo.
UK too. They love it in the UK.
Yeah, the Brits love it. New Zealand, Belgium, and Italy are the top five for splashing. Role plays huge in Zambia and the Philippines. Voyeurism's number one in Singapore and then Trinidad and Tobago. Jamaica loves wax play.
I bet.
More than any other country.
They're going to need a lot of wax.
The U.S. right at number two, though, when it comes to wax play.
Well, you can see that's a real, like, our culture and Jamaica. But it's like U.S., U.K., Australia, Canada.
Yeah.
You know, it's like really run-of-the-mill wax.
Wax play. Group sex, Sri Lanka is where it's number one, followed by Bangladesh and Ethiopia. What's that, you guys? Urolagnia?
Oh, I was looking at that.
What's Urolagnia?
Is that pee play? It's got to be. It's got to be.
Another word for
sounding?
Pee play?
You think it's sounding?
Oh, could be another word for that.
Urolagnia. Define it. Sexual interest focused on urine and urination. No, so it's
just peeing.
Golden showers?
Yeah, we call it golden showers or...
Yeah, I never that's knew the scientific term.
I didn't know they had a scientific term for the golden showers.
Yeah.
The second question that comes up, is it safe for someone to pee in your mouth?
Sure.
I don't know if that's the answer. Don't listen to Chuck. Let's see here. Generally harmless.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't get into any orifice or wound. So keep
you
that in mind.
See it a lot out there.
Yeah, good to know. Keep that in mind. But that's big. Pee play is number one in Australia.
Yeah.
America's number two. UK, Canada, India. And the rest. Swinging is the most popular in South Africa. Then the UK and Ireland. Dogging is number one in the UK.
I knew that'd be big in UK.
Because that's like their.
No. That means you go to a park. Like a girl goes to a park and then there's like 15 guys there. And she does
so like
stuff
running
with
a train on her. Like,
she does stuff with all of them. And the thing is, it's been like it's always UK. It's always from the UK. It's always a British woman doing it. So you could tell that it was big over there. That's funny that it's their number
they
one.
They say it's spying on couples having sex in a car or other public place.
Well, when you if you see the porn that is like...
labeled dog.
That.
Yeah.
It's a girl.
So it's that's the Wikipedia definition. The Urban Dictionary definition is having sex in a public place. Like parks behind the bars and toilets. That kind
yeah.
of the practice of carrying out or watching sexual activities in semi-secluded locations.
So they go to a park, they're filming a girl doing stuff with all sorts of guys. So it'll be like a circle and she'll be doing it to everybody, you know. But in the porn world, you could definitely tell that this was a big thing in the UK.
So it's number one in the UK, then Ireland, Denmark are the next. Squirting's biggest in Rwanda.
Look at where it's huge, huh?
Uganda, Kenya, Zambia, Zimbabwe. They all love the squirt.
Yep.
Cuckolding's biggest in St. Helena, then Burma and Ireland, Canada and the Netherlands.
Fisting.
Wow.
Kenya, number one. Spectrophilia.
You got me there.
I didn't realize we'd have to...
Well, because it's all science-y on us. They've gone science-y.
Spectrophilia.
This is a confusing... These words are confusing.
I know.
Sexual attraction to ghosts or sexual arousal from images and mirrors.
Well, that's just... What a... You really drew the short end of the straw there, didn't you?
I'm into ghosts.
I can only get off if I see a ghost.
I got spectrophilia.
Yeah, I got a bad case.
I got a real bad case.
Spectrophilia.
Spectrophilia.
Yeah. Where's so that the most popular?
That is Nigeria's number one, but the U.S. is right next at number two.
Do you think it's the mirror? Do you think it's the mirror stuff? Because the mirror was somehow thrown into that, wasn't it?
But isn't that seeing something in a mirror? Or is it seeing yourself?
Well, is it watching yourself? Because, you know, that's there. The couple things I've seen that are big in the U.S. and Canada together are the things that you see in movies where it's like, oh, there's a mirror on the ceiling.
It's like sexual so lame, attraction but... to ghosts or engaging in sexual activity with a ghost.
Man. Well,
Don't you think that would be the UK? We always have so many stories of...
When the women that marry ghosts,
yeah.
They're always from the UK. The UK is number 5 on the list, so it's top there. 5.
Yeah.
But Nigeria is number 1. The US is number 2. Impact play. Is that someone beating the hell out of you?
Yeah, I think so. Like kicking your balls.
Brunei is number 1. Philippines, Singapore, Malaysia, and the U.S. in the top 5 there for impact play. Exhibitionism, Jamaica's number 1.
How's Jamaica number 1 in a couple different things?
They get after it.
I guess.
Yeah, they love wax play and they love showing their dongs.
Yeah, well.
That makes sense, I guess. Yep. South Korea, Singapore, New Zealand, and Philippines, also big exhibitionists. America is number 1 in furries. We have more furries in America than anywhere else in the world, apparently.
I think economically it makes sense because those costumes, I don't think are cheap.
Yeah, you have to be
fairly
well-off country.
Well, it is. The top 3 are probably some of the...
Yeah, U.S., Canada, Australia, the biggest furry countries. Choking's number 1 in South Africa, but the U.S. right there at number 2. Bondage, Myanmar comes out on top again. They're into bondage more than any other country.
Germany is also on the list.
Yes,
they went to BDSM and to bondage.
That's right.
Dominatrix is number 1 in Ireland. They love to get their asses kicked by a rough chick.
Yeah.
The U.K. is next, and then the U.S. and Canada follow right after. Most popular fetishes in the U.S., this shows it by state. Delaware is the state that's into splashing the most. The pee stuff's huge in Vermont.
That's weird.
Montana loves to swing.
I bet.
Of all the states, Idaho's the most into furries.
My God, that's the only thing that's going on in Idaho, huh? Like, you're so bored that you just get dressed up like an animal.
Mm-hmm. Fisting in Alaska.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. The hard room up there. I feel like the women are hardcore up there.
Well, it's BDSM and fisting both in Alaska.
Wow, they're into some stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Where they're having sex with ghosts the most? Oklahoma. That's where spectrophilia is number 1.
That's right. Oklahoma, we're just always banging ghosts.
Have you ever had sex with a ghost?
It's crazy.
Kentucky, it's cuckolding.
Mm-hmm.
Impact plays biggest in North Carolina. Group sex in Virginia. Rhode Island loves their feet. More than any other country.
Rhode Island loves their feet.
Well, apparently they do.
Yeah.
Apparently you can't click on. That's all.
What a tiny little state Rhode Island is. Look at that. Tiny little thing.
A lot of people from Rhode Island listen.
They love their feet.
And you love feet, apparently. You are into feet more than anything else.
It's weird that they don't like break it down more within the states.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think it was because we don't know what Massachusetts, Michigan,
Florida. Well, I think
Michigan,
this is just, they just put the fetishes up and then told you who was number 1. That's all they've, that's why Alaska has 2, because Alaska happens to be number 1 in the 2. Mississippi also has 2, role playing and
squirt the dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Squirt alert.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever you want to call it, Dave.
Squirt the dirt. And Oregon's number 1 for dogging.
Yeah.
So it's taken off and taken off in some weird ways.
Yeah, I think the fetish stuff is just always going to get more and more. There's no going back.
Yeah.
So what are people overall searching for? BDSM is still the most popular fetish around the world. Then bondage. Then fisting. Then squirting. Then dogging. By the way, I called Rhode Island a country. No, it's a state. I know that. just to misspeak.
Yeah.
I know it's not its own country. It has not broken away from America.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. They might.
We lost Rhode Island.
We lost Rhode Island.
Oh, my God.
But if you want to see and dig deeper into that fetish stuff, you can see all the stats up at DaveAndChuckTheFreak.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Leave a rating for Dave and Chuck the Freak's Tasty Bits podcast on iTunes or Google Play.
Have you had a horrible landlord in the past? Just how brutal were they, or crazy? 1-855-954-6969 if you have a weird landlord story you want to share. 1-855-954-6969 or text us at 46969. We have a landlord out of Australia that, man, he seems like he is a whack job. He has pitched a tent in his tenant's garden and started living there. He said there was a clause in the contract that said they didn't, the backyard wasn't included with the rental.
Oh.
So now they've got a guy and his lady living in their backyard.
The tent life.
They talked about it on the Australian TV show A Current Affair last night. Here's a little bit of how that played out.
Ian William found the rental home of their dreams.
The house is quite beautiful.
Until they came home to find this.
It's just madness.
Looking out the back and seeing these strangers.
No toilet, towel or running water. And you won't believe who it is.
Take a shot. Take a shot.
He just was very aggressive from the start. I'm the owner. I can access this property whenever I feel like. I can be here.
I tell you what, buddy, you're really pushing your luck. You're really pushing your luck. Get the car out of the driveway. You touch that gate again. You see what happens.
Jesus, that doesn't seem like it's worth it.
No. So Nikki and William have been living in this rented home in New South Wales with their three young kids for 2 months when Pascal Hubert told them that they were going to set up camp in the backyard. They received a text saying, "Dear Nikki and William, I'm the owner. I will be occupying the backyard as of tonight." That was the text they got. I guess it came in on Christmas Day. They moved into this house several months before that, but then these two people, the owner and the partner, moved into the garden and refused to leave. They say they're aggressive, they're trashy, they're scaring their kids.
Well, sure, they've got.
But they're powerless to get them off their property.
It's like some weird Australian squatting type situation.
Well, he owns the place.
It's like he needed someone to pay his
mortgage,
but he needed a place to live still.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It's way more than you bargained for when you rented that place.
Yeah.
Thinking that you're going to have these two in your backyard.
Right. We live back here. Pay us our rent.
Oh, no.
Like, look at them. Like, look at them.
We're normal people.
Alcoholics.
Right.
I
look like Sammy Hagar.
He looks like if Sammy Hagar hit rough times.
Well, right. Yeah, never ate.
I look like methamphetamine.
Sammy Hagar. That's more appropriate.
Yeah.
I look like methamphetamine. They said the police are telling us that there's really nothing they can do. They signed the lease. It does say in the lease that it doesn't include the backyard.
Hmm.
Says rear yard not included.
Whoa.
Should have looked at that.
Oh, my God. You got to read the fine print, huh?
Yeah. You don't assume somebody's going to not give you the yard.
No.
No, you don't. No. Or you'd never assume that someone was then going to move into that backyard.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But this ruins your image of Australian lookers.
It's not helping it.
No.
It's not helping.
I know. It's
actually the whole story. Everyone involved is not great.
Well, it's like one or the other in Australia, I think. They're either really hot people. Or they're like that.
So when you're not hot, you're
rough.
You're rough.
Rough.
Yeah.
Rough stuff.
Yeah, I don't think you can base everything off of just like a few actresses that came out.
I base everything off of Margot Robbie.
And back in the day, it was like Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah. But they do, they're like, it's funny, but if you're a guy and you have social media and, you know, Instagram is showing you girls.
A lot of them are from Australia.
A lot of them are from Australia. It's insane how many are from Australia. Mm. And I don't know if it's just maybe they're not from Australia, but it's a great place to move to. If you are attractive,
people everywhere.
I know.
No, I know. But Lisa, there's certain countries you have an image of them.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying. I think it's a myth.
It's very weird how a lot of Instagram influencers are from Australia.
Yeah. No, and I think that I don't think there's a lot of like emigrants or whatever. Like, there's not a lot of people that moved to Australia because it's a very hard country to move into. It's like almost impossible.
We're talking about crazy landlords. If you have a story, 1-855-954-6969 or text us at 46969. Amanda is in Boston. She's going to start us off here. Hey, Amanda, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing okay. You had to deal with a crazy landlord.
Yeah. So my now fiance and I, when we were in grad school, lived in this like in-law suite above the garage of this home. And the guy was this older, like 65, and the laundry was in the main part of the house. So he said, hey, walk through the bedroom to get to the laundry, no problem. There was a very large painted portrait of him, like laying down on a bed, arms behind the head, completely naked. There are mirrors on the ceiling above his bed. We found like old school VHS of porn and like a tripod, and there were a couple occasions where I would walk through the house to get to the laundry and he was just completely naked. So a super, super creeper. Yeah.
So, yeah. And you shared the house with him.
So, yeah. So there was this, it was its own in-law suite above the garage. So we had our own door, but he let us walk through his room to get to the laundry.
Oof. Yeah.
Very uncomfortable.
You're next level when you have a fully nude painted portrait of yourself hanging up, right? You're like,
it's incredible. It's honestly incredible because you posed for it.
You guys don't have those?
Not yet, but I mean, now I never even thought of it until now.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it'll be to scale, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'll be like, I'll put a magnifying glass like right in the right spot.
Blow this up big.
Yeah. This is, I want it to look real, but.
And so you're going to add some more paint like right mine. There.
Yeah.
Kay's with us here. Kay, we're talking about crazy landlords. What have you had to deal with?
When I was living in Santa Barbara, me and a couple of my girlfriends rented this like beautiful house on the Riviera. We were like 28 years old. And the landlord was this guy who owned the house but lived in Costa Rica. And probably like 9 months into the rental, he decided to move back to the country with his like 14-year-old teenage daughter. And they moved back into the house that we were living in. Like he literally took over my bedroom. And he and his 14-year-old daughter were living in there.
Where did you go?
One of my roommates just fled. She found a place right away. And I had to move out and move into another bedroom on the other side of the house. And because it was a big house, he had his own entrance and exit from that room. And so they just kind of barricaded themselves in there for the most part. Well, we lived in like the other part of the house. It was awful. And we were really unnerved by the fact that this was like a bedroom that he was sharing with his 14-year-old daughter. It was just so gross.
There's a lot to that story.
You never think your landlord would just move right in with you.
No.
And I don't know how cheap rent has to be to like get in a situation like that where you're living above a house you have to go through and walk through and see naked people. And
yeah. Messed up.
It better be pretty cheap.
Someone said I had a landlord in Fort Myers, a Cuban guy, wanted me to throw away my used toilet paper and not flush it.
Well, that's...
Well, you just should have told him that our sewage system here can handle it.
Yeah.
So he's used to a Cuban sewage system.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I told you I was in that Mexican bathroom once.
I forgot about that. Yeah, there's like waste baskets.
Right, and there was like the poop paper waste basket.
Yeah.
It said don't flush.
Yeah.
So imagine a 97 degree day with a poop paper waste basket.
It's not good.
It's awful.
Yeah, just tell the Cuban man our toilets can handle it.
Right. Yeah. These are American toilets, so.
Here's some text coming in. I had a landlord when I first moved out of my parents' house who would nitpick everything. She lived on the property right behind us. She would monitor when I took the trash out, telling me I had to drag it to the street regardless of what I have in it. I literally had to drag the trash can to the street empty to get her to leave me alone. It was just horrible. Another one said something similar. I was renting a house in Massachusetts. The weirdo landlord parked his Winnebago in the bushes outside of the house. He ran extension cords from the house, and he lived in the Winnebago while charging us $2,500 a month. He would stay up all night drinking and playing air guitar.
Not bad.
And swinging a bow staff.
He had a bow staff.
This landlord sounds cool as hell.
Yeah. I've got the coolest landlord of all time. Watch him do his bow staff work.
Oh, my God.
He's like Donatello.
Look, he just got a new katana blade. He's practicing his ninja skills.
My girlfriend finally got nervous enough that we had to leave.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, Winnebago, yeah, man, can scare a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep a girl happy in that type of scenario, you know? Like, you're at a place...
Guy living in the bushes in Winnebago.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to keep your girl happy that way.
This one said that had a two-family house on the top floor. In the bottom floor tenants, they moved out, and the landlord was strapped for cash, so he moved in. We'd find him frying steaks and smoking cigarettes at 1 a.m. Eventually, he died in the house of a heroin overdose.
Oh, my. Oh.
That's when we moved out.
Oh.
That's when.
Right. Wow. And that's. Oh,
and he's dead now.
Yeah.
He's dead.
Yeah. He's not your problem anymore, but.
No more landlord, though.
No.
Gonna go.
Yep.
Right. It fixed itself.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy life, steaks and heroin.
It will catch up to you. It generally will catch up to you, right?
Yeah. Normally, you're doing so much heroin that you can't afford a steak.
Right. It's one or the other, typically. Yeah. You don't see that a lot.
Nope.
Steaks, 1 a.m. steaks, heroin addiction.
I do recall that. I'm quite southern there. Oh, I do recall.
I do recall. I recollect them.
We had, I don't know what it was. I moved a lot when I was a kid for some reason, but there was a time when we rented this house, and it was owned by this, large European woman.
Mm.
But she still kept a garden in the backyard, and she'd be back there all the time, and I was scared to death of her.
Jeez.
I was only
through something like this.
Yeah, I was only like 9 or 10, and this, like, she'd just have like the angriest look on her face. She had like a little head scarf.
Oh.
She's an old gardener?
Yeah. Yeah, but she was like an old mean gardener. Oh, she was like a mean old lady.
Yeah, she's a stay away from my squatch.
Yeah. And she'd always something wrong, like she's like, the door needs, she'd always have a complaint.
Oh.
Whenever she came by, it was yelling
like
at my
dad.
A miserable
woman?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would hate her being out there. Jason's in Fort Myers. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's up? We're doing okay. So, you've actually had quite a few bad landlords, apparently.
So Florida, like, I don't know what it is about Fort Myers, like Cape Coral, like Naples area, but like, and I know I'm not the only one because I've got buddies that have dealt with like crazy stuff. But like, I've had like 5 landlords where I've just been like, what? So me and some buddies years ago, we rented a place, and the landlord, she was, they were like kind of old school Jewish, and we never figured out, and Jason even kind of mentioned this when he was like, what? Because of what I told him, but after 6 months of us living there, it was me and 2 buddies, somebody said something to her, I don't know, and she, all of a sudden, she was like, wait, you guys aren't Jewish? And we're like, no, why does that matter? And she goes, yeah, you guys can't live here. And so she gave us a 30 days notice. We tried to take her to court, but she had all the legal paperwork and whatever loophole she used, and she made us leave. And then I had another landlord that I lived with my wife. We took care of the place, let him know whenever something was wrong. And when we moved out, he had all the paint, everything in the house. And so we painted it because we wanted a deposit back. We painted like 2 weeks before. The guy comes in the day before and he goes, it's you guys painted the place. I'm not giving you your deposit. And we're like, the place looks great. What are you talking about? And I had to take him to the Better Business Bureau. And then I've got a landlord now where if I email him or text him, he will not respond. He will only talk to you if you call him. Like, he doesn't want anything in writing so that you can't use it against him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I don't know. The landlords down here are crazy.
I think there's shady
crazy
landlords everywhere.
Yeah, I do.
They're always looking for a way not to give you that security deposit back.
Yeah, anything.
Anything they can do to get out of that, for sure. But that, no Jew.
Well, like you had
no
that
Jew, no steak laws.
Yeah,
that's weird.
That's real illegal.
Yeah. I only rent to Jews.
You had that one landlord, Andy, right, that you had to kind of, You dealt with him a little bit.
Oh, I've had a couple of different landlords that I've had to deal with real bad situations like that.
Like the one guy wasn't even supposed to have places.
Right, I rented a place and it was like the furnace went out, so then I withheld rent, and then it was like it started getting nasty, and then I called the city and they were like, well, let's see if he's even licensed to rent.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Yeah, let's see that. I didn't know anything about that.
And he wasn't, and he right?
No. Yeah.
Nope. Yikes.
I was like, very cool.
That is I have a leg up on this man now.
I was like, woo!
That is great news.
Cool. I am glad you knew about those details. Because I sure didn't, and I'm very cold.
Mm. Thanks for checking out the Dave and Chuck the Freak Tasty Bits podcast. If you want to hear the entire Dave and Chuck the Freak show from today, subscribe and download the podcast now from the Apple Podcast app or the Google Play Store.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.